You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, no one more announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Matthew today, chapter 28, verses 17 through 20. Matthew 28, 17 through 20. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, right. Well, the university is running good, and soon we'll be out of the mask season, perhaps, and we'll be able to breathe a bit easier. I enjoy my teaching, of course, and as we teach, we learn ourselves certain things, and teaching, being a good teacher is hard. It's hard to be a good teacher. You want to take teaching as a profession. It's a great profession. But it's a profession where you're just going to have to say, man, it's just like being a parent. You don't know it all, right? You have to do it to really know something about it. And it's difficult at times and rewarding too. So I really enjoy teaching and the challenges that come. Well, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank thee for this time to teach, Lord, to open the scriptures. And to learn, we thank that we have minds that we can learn and understand this world and what thy purpose is in it. We thank thee for the scriptures which have been preserved, and we ask that you would help us rightly divide them in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, right, well the snow's still falling. I think it's going to be cold this week, so it might be appropriate to see a bit of snow falling. We have been looking at all sorts of passages in the Bible as it relates to this idea of the ends, and there are tremendous doctrinal significance that relates to the idea of the ends. And the more I look at this, the more I can see how things dovetail, which is always neat in the scriptures, you know, how you have a kind of a mosaic of how ideas interlock. And also there are practical things that you can learn for your own self when you examine the ends of your own life as you go through various seasons and they come to an end and then a new one comes up. And that also applies to our ultimate end in our life here. That's not an absolute end, is it? It's an end, but it's followed by the resurrection into new life. And so it goes on. What a tremendous thing that we have this opportunity to preach, to evangelize this truth of Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. Yes, there's an end, but there's also the possibility given to you for a new start. What a tremendous teaching. Now, we last time looked at this word metanoio, which means to change your mind. You can see the word nous in there, your mind. And to change your mind, all sorts of influences come to you. You can have all kinds of influences coming to your thinking. You may have thought one way, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh man, I made all those decisions based upon thinking this certain way, and I was wrong. Now, one thing you could do is try and tidy it up and carry on with your wrong information and try and pretend everything's okay. That's not a smart move. That's not going to help you. You need to be able to say, no, I was wrong, and admit you're being wrong, and then move on. Change your mind. All kinds of blessings will come to you. Maybe there'll be some punishments that come to you. I remember listening to a man who was a criminal in his youth in Alabama, and he did all sorts of crazy things, you know. Oh, man. Pulling guns out on putting in the face of a woman teller in a bank and telling that person to fill the thing with money and all sorts of stuff like that, and then being chased by police cars and doing all kinds of crazy things. But then a change in his mind takes place. And today he's a preacher, and he's he's able to admit his wrong and use the wrong that he did at least for some good. And that's a great thing that you can do that, not basking in the glory of the wrong, because that's what some people want to do. They want to say, look how bad I am, or everyone needs to look at me because see how bad I was. No, he was very humble about it and realized that people can do that. And then down in Matthew 4:17 it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, metanoeta. Metanoeta. And that's an imperative. An imperative. In the Greek language, you have words, verbs that can be turned into the imperative. And there we have the verb metanoeo, and it's changed into the form of an imperative. You change your mind. For, why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Very localized message, you'd have to say. The kingdom of heaven is near. It's near at hand. Well, we need to remember that when Jesus came, Paul tells us in Romans 15:8 that he came to the nation of Israel, confirming the promises that were made unto the fathers. That's what he did. And there was a great ministry around that. And therefore, you to understand the ministry of Messiah, you need to understand what God said about what Messiah would do by reading the prophets. The prophets to the nation of Israel. And so this is a very important teaching. And then there's not just the verb, but also the noun, repentance, Acts 5:31. There was the call to repentance. And with this, the possibility of an end, right? So with this change of mind addressed to the nation of Israel, with this change of mind, there was the possibility of an end which would come through the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a word for the coming, and which was used then. We use it today, but this was very much applicable then. The parousia. The coming. The coming. The presence, personal presence of the King. And if they would change their mind and they would repent, then there was the chance and the definite possibility of Jesus the Christ returning to the earth. Okay, cool. Well, we've sort of covered that. And we talked about the ends and the fact that there's an end, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the end of the ages. And then there's the end, deliver up the kingdom to God. God would be all in all in 1 Corinthians 15. So with the coming, which is one end, there is an end, there's also he must reign till he has put down all rule. And then what does he do? He gives up the kingdom to the Father so that God is all and all. And so what's that going to be? Well, that's going to be right at the end after when Christ comes back, which is an end. There is this reigning and there is rebellion and he puts down all. And then finally, God will be all and in all. Okay, various ends, right? But then what we read about is this idea of the suntelia, which is different from this word, telos. Telos, the end. You come down here and you see all the different places where you can find this in Matthew. And down here, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So there was to be a preaching of this gospel of the kingdom, and then this end would come. The end has a context. And any end that you'd want to discuss in the Bible has a context. And you need to find the context to see whether that end involves you. Does it involve you? We went through this word suntulia last time, which is the ingathering, one of the feasts that you read about in the book of Exodus, and some really interesting things. What I want you to do is I want you to come down here to Matthew 28. Let's have a look at that, because I think this is an interesting passage. Matthew 28 and, verse 16. We'll read from. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Then the 11. There seems to be a little bit of a lack there, don't you think? Then the 11. In other words, the 12th one is not there. There needs to be a replacement for Judas. The Bible's consistent. Now, some people want to teach you that that was Paul. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that Matthias was the replacement, not Paul. Now, you can say what you want to say. You can believe what you have the freedom to believe what you want to believe. But if you're a person that wants to believe the Scriptures, and you want to take the Scriptures as being authority in your life, then you must say it's not Paul, it's going to be Matthias. And as we go down, it says, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. See, there's still doubt there. Isn't it interesting? This is one of the notes of truth in the Scriptures for me. You know, if you're going to write a book that's going to be sort of, a book that you want to impress people and you want to bring people into the fold, perhaps you'll be tempted to make out that everything worked out nice and golden, and everyone was believing. That's not the way things are. You can see this is a note of truth, one of the ideas of truthfulness that you can see in the Scriptures. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. So you want to be in touch with power, then you need to be in touch with the Lord Jesus. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Baptizing them in the name of the Father. Wait a minute, it doesn't say and in the name of the Son. It says baptizing them in the name, singular, of who? The Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Don't you think it's a little unusual, right? A little bit unusual. That the name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Another evidence here, not proof, of this idea of a Trinity working here. Now look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Oh, wait a minute. So if we want to know the contents of this teaching, all we need to do is just go back and see what Jesus had taught the disciples. Now, Paul is not on the scene here, so we're not going to go to Paul for this. To get this message, all we have to do is go back and see what Jesus taught the disciples. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the suntulia of the world, the ingathering of the world. That's connected with a feast, one of the three feasts that the Jews were commanded to keep. Isn't that interesting? That right till here, it's Jewish. It's got to do with a kingdom which was promised to the nation of Israel, which certainly would affect the nations. I'm not pretending that the nations would not be involved, of course, but there was a central place for the nation of Israel here. Okay, well, that's cool. Let's carry on. So we talked about this here, you know, in Ezekiel, Exodus chapter 23, 14 to 16, talking about these feasts. Three times thou shalt keep a feast to me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, and as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib, for In it thou camest out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the firstfruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, the feast of ingathering, which shall be in the end of the year. Of course, the end. Here comes our word, the end of the year. The ingathering would extend to some time, through some time. And there'll be a conclusion to the ingathering. Okay, cool. And here, the suntalaya, Matthew 13:39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The end. The suntalaya of the age. Suntalaya to Ionos, the age. Okay, that's interesting. That's what's going to happen. Notice it says here, and the reapers are the angels. Now, you can see more about this with this incredible activity of angels in the book of Revelation. And if we want to take this further, we're going to have to dig out those ideas and what's going to happen in this ingathering feast as tremendous things will open up into this world that the likes of which you would just never imagine. And perhaps not even believe some in some cases. If you're going to be honest, you think, oh, well, yeah. You know what? One thing we've learned about this whole COVID thing is that people will accept a mark. You know that? They will. And furthermore, that mark will be based upon a condition of living, eating, right? Food. And everything. Because that's, in some places around the world, that's the condition. If you don't take this vaccine, then you can't eat. You cannot buy or sell. Right? It's there. One of the things we got from this thing is that what's written in the book of Revelation is entirely possible. Furthermore, when you start to dig deeper into this whole issue of this COVID thing, you discover that it's related to political things to do with this thing called the reset, which in turn is connected with socialism and communism and Satanism. Yeah, Satanism. And then all of a sudden you realize what's written in the book of Revelation is absolutely accurate, my friends. It's accurate. This is like a little rundown of what's going to happen on this earth. It's going to happen, friends. So here, this end, this telos, is not yet. See, in Matthew 24:6, here's the expression, but the end is not yet, but the end is not yet. Matthew 24:6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end. See, the end of the suntalaya, harvest will carry on for some time, but the final end of it will not be yet. So I have this little picture here, which I showed you last time, this idea of the suntalaya and in gathering, but right at the end there is the end, and the angels are sent forth in gathering with the coming of the Christ in the form of the parousia. So in Hebrews 9:26 it says this: for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Since the foundation of the world. From Catabole's Cosmu, from the overthrow of the world, the cosmos. But now, once in the world, in the end of the world, but now, hapax, once. A hapax legomenon, what's that? Hapax legomenon is a word that occurs only once. And they're interesting words. Words that appear, say, in the Bible, they appear only one time. So here's the hapax. But now once, in the suntalaya, in the ingathering of the ages, now once, in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Wait a minute. That means the ingathering occurred right back there when Jesus gave his life a sacrifice. So you can see the ingathering goes right back. Here's a neat passage in 1 Peter 1:20, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. See, before, katabolēs kosmou, before the foundation of the world. But was manifest in these last times. These last times. Completely consistent. What am I trying to point out here to you? I'm trying to point out that there was a plan and purpose of Jesus Christ as a Lamb that goes back before the foundation of the world. And this idea, at least this idea of his sacrifice, was being taught and preached in the times when Peter was there, and he calls this the last times. The last times. Well, that means you'd have to say that right back here the ingathering was going on. And the ingathering was occurring all the way along here during the book of Acts and the book of Hebrews. Right? We get this. The ingathering is going on, going on, going on. And during this time when Paul was preaching during the book of Acts, the ingathering was going on. The ingathering. It was going on. And the last times were moving towards an end. An end. But there was a condition. There was a condition which was on metanoia, repent. Metanoite, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what's going to happen if they don't repent? Oh, that's a good question, don't you think? Is that addressed? I don't see that particularly well addressed. I mean, when I say well addressed, I mean by preachers. It's not well addressed. But what we find is, for example, in the Old Testament, when Israel would not repent, what happens is that Israel goes off into captivity and the temple is destroyed. That's what happens. We know that. Well, did that happen in Acts 28? No, it did not happen in Acts 28. It happened over in AD 70. That means time keeps going after Acts 28. And the call to repentance will continue. This changes us because we change as we get more understanding of the scriptures. Okay, we get more understanding of it. And this idea of an appearance is really amazing. Now look at this. Look at this. I'm trying to get, let me show you what I'm trying to get at. There is something that is really hard for us to distinguish. Now you can see, for example, there are different types of ends, right? There is the suntalaya, which is translated the end of the age. Suntalaya, of the age. And then there is the telos, which is the final end. Well, there is, let's see, what does it have, what happens? Well, here is heaven, let's suppose. Here's heaven. At some stage, there is this brightness that comes out of heaven's glory. When Christ, Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him in the glory. A resurrection occurs. That is an end of our age. There is an end which occurs at our age, which occurs with this appearing. But what I want to show you is that this appearing is also attached to something else, which is called the coming. Before we get there, just look at this passage with me. This is in 1 John, and it's in chapter 2. So find 1 John, chapter 2, and verse 28. Now John, he had a special ministry. We've been looking at that. We had a good study on John. And he has a tremendous ministry as a minister of the circumcision. He has this very special letter which he writes in John, which has a message to the Gentiles, using the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. First John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says this, "And now, little children, abide in him." Abide in him. I just got it up here too. So it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear," when he shall appear, "we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now, this is interesting. As an Acts 28 believer, did you ever have a question about this passage? In the notion that Paul wants our hope associated with the appearing, right? And there is a very simple teaching, which is that our hope is associated with the Lord's appearing, and the hope that's associated with Israel is to do with the parousia. It's a nice bifurcation of hope, and it seems, you know, relatively clear in terms of the idea. But when you read 1 John 2 and 28, do you think there's a slight problem here? Look at it. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have a confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now, let's look at the Greek words. Look over here. "In order that when he shall appear," see, it's no, there's no doubt about the Greek word. It is the verb which is to appear. And then down here, look at, "and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now look, before him in his coming. See the word? Parousia. So you've got two words. One, which relates to this outshining, the appearing, and this word is used variously. Jesus, when he came at the first coming, in his first coming, it's talked about as being an appearing. I wonder whether, in the same way, that there is a distinction between the sun telia and the telos. I wonder whether there's going to be a distinction between the appearing and the coming. Now, we know the sun telia and the telos are very closely related, because the telos is really just talking about the last part of the ingathering, right at the end. I wonder whether there's something like that going on with the appearing. So that you have the appearing, and then you have the coming. I wonder whether there's some sort of a relationship like that going on here. Let's have a look at this. Look at this one. Now, I'll put some more thought into this for you, okay? Here's some more questions. So there's a nice, simple teaching. The appearing relates to us, and the coming relates to Israel, right? Nice and simple. Okay, but I'm giving you problems. I'm giving you problems now. Here it comes. Here comes some more problems. "And then shall..." Now notice where it comes from. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." Boy, does this fit with the book of Revelation. "And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now let's see what the Greek is. He shall destroy with the appearing, epiphania, with the appearing of his coming. Parousia, see there? If I just be real literal, you'll get the problem. Let's be real literal. Here it comes. "He shall destroy with the appearing of his coming." He shall destroy with the appearing of his coming. Now we have an appearing which is associated with his coming. Okay. Well, that's kind of interesting. These are the places where you'll find Paul using the word coming. Okay. The parousias. And the parts which is interesting for us occur in Philippians, because we're interested in the Acts and then the post-Acts time. So here, Philippians and post-Acts, Philippians 1:26 and 2:12. That just relates to his coming, to Paul's own coming. Okay, so that's got nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the comings in other places are in the book of Acts. The only place where you get coming, which would be interesting to us, is in Philippians, but it's related to Paul. Okay? Okay, that's cool. We got before the foundation of the world, and that's interesting, but the foundation before the foundation of the world relates to the Lamb. And that's why the truth of the Lamb is interdispensational, isn't it? Why is it that the message of the death, burial, and resurrection is something that we all must hold to? Well, because it's foundational. It goes back before the foundation of the world. It has to do with the Lamb as the sacrifice. Okay, so that's nice. But you'll notice also in here, there's a passage in Ephesians, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And this relates to our special purpose in this age. Okay, cool. And then we've read in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the suntalia of the world. Yeah. So here, the message of preaching to the nations is associated with the gospel of the kingdom. And a special message about the kingdom. Okay, cool. Over here, where it's taken in 28:18-20, which we read, it says this, look at this, we read it, but I'll read it again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And this message relates to what Jesus taught in his earthly ministry. Now watch this. So, how does all this fit together? What's important? Okay. Our end comes with his appearing. The gospel of the kingdom was preached. It has a context. It's got to do with what the kingdom was in relationship to the prophets and to the Messiah. Now look at this. There is a gospel that we are involved with. It's called the gospel of the unsearchable riches. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Yes, that's the preaching. The preaching is to proclaim as a gospel the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. There's our marching orders. It has an end. It has an end, which is with the appearing. This had an end, which had to do with the coming. An end here. Appearing, an end here with the coming. Well, what's the issue? Well, let me just show you what the issue is. This is the issue. Here comes the issue. I've got to get to this before I finish. 2 Timothy 4:1. Stop. 2 Timothy 4:1. We're right near the end of Paul's time on this earth. The mystery has already been revealed. Now look what he says. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the quick, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. At his appearing and his kingdom. This is remarkable, a remarkable passage. So what do I learn from this? Well, I'm going to try and make some sense out of all this. I used a bit more of the whiteboard than usual. So let's see. One thing I've learned about erasing these things, the hands do the best job. Okay, so over here, what we have is then we have this appearing that's going to occur. And then he comes. Some way there is this manifestation that occurs in heaven. It has an effect on the earth. It does. It has some sort of impact on the earth. But this is the great outshining when we leave. But it's associated with the coming. Of course it is. Right? He's making his appearance. He's on his way. He's on his way in some sense, in some physical sense. Now, our minds are blown with this idea. But I think it means that in some other dimension where God dwells, Christ is making his move towards earth. Right? And when he does this, we are given this tremendous resurrection. And there's other things that go on, but just making it simple, there is this resurrection that occurs, and we go to Christ. And so that's the place in which we go. And as he does this, he's coming back down to the earth. And when he comes to the earth, there is a resurrection on the earth, and people come out to meet him there as well. Isn't it a wild idea? All sorts of things are going on. Once the Lord Jesus Christ begins his movement towards the earth, man, there's just all kinds of things unravel. Massive unraveling. And so then this end occurs. There's an end here, right? And with it, a beginning of another age. There's an end here for us and the beginning of an age in the heavenly places. Right? Well, I'm a bit out of time, and I realize I've gone through a bit of scripture here with you. But you need to start thinking about this. The idea of the suntalia and the telos, the ingathering and the final end. The idea that there is going to be an appearing which has an effect for us, but also on the earth. There is an effect because it's a part of his coming. And therefore, the appearing of his coming is what our part is in this. The appearing of his coming. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee today for all that thou hast given us and for all that the scriptures teach. We ask the Lord that where we don't understand, Lord, that we'd study and get more light and more understanding from the scriptures as the Holy Spirit teaches us. We pray, Lord, for those unwell, that your Spirit would work in their lives and give their body healing in thy will. Pray for the nation, Lord, that great leaders would come up as they get activated, as they see the great need that's stretched before us. We pray for spiritual men and women to come forward. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.